Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs, refreshing, relevant, real.
All right, we are doing a series called Faithful Presence. Today is going to be the last, our last Sunday on that. And so we've talked about what faithful presence is. The first message dealt with the idea that when Israel was taken from their homeland, Israel, because they were put on a timeout, God says, you've been bad, I'm going to send you on a timeout, and it's going to be a 70-year timeout in Babylon, okay? And so Nebuchadnezzar came in, took the people, many of the best people, took them into captivity into Babylon. Some people stayed there, but they're now dominated by the Babylonians. And so some of the prophets said, you know what? God's going to bring us right back, and this is just a short thing. But Jeremiah, the prophet, said, wrote him a letter and says, no, you are get settled and be there because you're going to be there 7 years. And so God's instruction for them was, build homes, marry, get your daughters, your sons married off, and seek the welfare of the land that you're living in. In fact, even pray for it. Okay? Now, you put that in your context or in our context, that basically God is saying, I want you to pray for your enemies, your captors, and I want you to work towards their welfare and blessing that land. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? God says, I want you to do that. And so they were 70. There are 70 years. There's a change. Babylonians were taken over by the Persians. Under the Persians, then Cyrus, they were able to come back. But some of them stayed there. Some of them never made the trip back. All right. But that is the idea of faithful presence. That God wants us to be part of our communities to bless it. And they had a choice. These people in Babylon could have isolated themselves. They could have stayed to their own community. They could not have mingled with other people. So they could have isolated. They could have been hostile, right? They could have been working under the scenes, being devious, trying to sabotage the government, doing whatever they could. They could have done that. Or they could have assimilated. So Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, there was tremendous pressure for them to assimilate. In other words, to adopt the same God, teachings and practices of that land. And so Babylon was not known for its righteousness. They served many gods. And so there was tremendous pressure for them to adopt those customs and those religions. But Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they all held their ground, but yet they were able to contribute at a high level to the country of Babylon. They were all top leaders by the time they went through their training. And yet they kept their faith in God. It wasn't easy, because remember, the three were thrown into the fiery furnace, right? Not for that they were promoted. So you want to be promoted, sometimes you have to go through the furnace, okay? All right, and then Daniel, right? He's thrown into the lion's den because he's doing God's will. And after that, then he's honored and exonerated as well. So that is the idea of faithful presence. And then we built on that, we talked about reconciliation, that, you know, just as we've been reconciled with Christ, God wants us to also offer reconciliation in our communities and maybe lead the way, whether it's in marriages, whether it's between relationships, whether it's between the race thing that we have going in America, the hostility that is there. We should be part of the solution leading reconciliation, helping people come together and bring healing in our land as Christians. So that idea of reconciliation. And then last week we looked at, everybody know what we talked about last week? I'm going to find it here shortly. Huh? Matthew 25. We talked last week, we talked about discovering Christ among the least of these, right? So we talked about how when we minister to people, whether it is going to a nursing home, so there's an opportunity Tuesday night with the trick-or-treating, okay? Liz is one of our people from our church, but she's at Premier Estates, so they're opening that up to people who want to take their kids to a trick-or-treat. And, you know, so you could take your kids there and look up Liz and just be a real blessing to her. You know, even hanging out with Bob and Heidi, we always think of meals and doing all that type of thing. I think they just, when I just went there, and I try to get there about every week, just sit down with them. They just appreciate, some of you have done that, and you've been there for 2-3 hours and just sat and talked with them. That's what really means a lot. So, I think when we do that, practice that discipline of faithful presence, of being among the least of these, I think God does some incredible things for us. We talked about that last week, that it actually opens up sacred space where ministry can flow, right? You're with a sick person, you're ministering to them, you have the opportunity to pray for them, right? And you can minister to them, and God can do a miracle. And maybe he can bring them to Christ, but he can minister to them. So it opens up the door. That's what the early church did as they hung out with people that were left out from society, whether they were in prison, whether they were poor, whether they were abandoned. They reached out to them, and God began to build his church. And they prayed for these people, and miracles happened. All right? Today I want to look at the final thing, and I've entitled the message, Gifted. How many have noticed that in the movie theaters, Marvel movies, who would have thought, you know, the comic book movies, they've been the hit over the last 5-6 years, haven't they? All right, how many like Spider-Man? All right, how many like Superman? Captain America. I like Captain America. All right. There's Iron Man. All right, any others I'm missing?
We need Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman. How could I forget her? The number one movie, right? Yes.
Sorry about me or her.
Both of you, yes. Wonder Woman. Yes, that broke records, didn't it? That was a good one. Very good. But you notice that there's all these superheroes, and they have powers from different places, whether it's mutants or they just have this power. They're gifted in that area. And for the most part, they wrestle with doing the common good, right? They use those gifts for the common good to bless society and the world. And then you have the bad guys that want to use their powers for the opposite. This morning I want to talk about how we, the church, in practicing faithful presence in our communities, we've all been gifted. So I want us to look at, there's 4 points in your program there. We're going to work through each of those that touch upon different areas of this idea of gifted. So I want to begin, first of all, in Acts 1:8. Some of you probably have that memorized. And so let's just bow our heads in prayer as we are. As we begin, Father, we just thank you for your word, and we just pray that your Holy Spirit would be here just to take your word and make it come alive to us. Let us speak to us. You've given us some incredible gifts. So, Father, we just pray that your spirit would be alive here in this place. Amen. Acts 1:8 says, and you will receive what? Power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now you can take this and develop this. There's so many passages that talk about the baptism, the gift of the Holy Spirit. He's described in all those different ways. But in Acts, Luke writes, you will receive power. Power to do is what it really means, because there's different types of power. I mean, there's physical strength, there is political power, there is social power. What it means is it's a power and ability to do something. You ever had tried to do something and you just didn't have the right tools? You didn't have the right resources to get it done? Yes, Amanda sees that, yes. And somebody sometimes can empower you, whether they give you the right tool or the right knowledge, the right insight to get that done. It's kind of, wow, I didn't know you could do that. Power. God has given us his Holy Spirit to empower us to do what? Power to do what? To be a witness, right? To be a witness for him. To declare his glory. In this idea of faithful presence, he is there with us. So the first principle in your program there is be empowered by the Holy Spirit. You know, so every superhero gets their power from someplace, right? But for us as believers, we get our power from the Holy Spirit. He is the one that has empowered us for Christian life and for service, for ministry. He is our source of power. I always like Iron Man because he has that thing in his chest. I don't know what they call that thing, but it glows, you know. Without that, he's a normal human. In fact, he's a weak human. He'll die. He needs that power source. And as believers, we need the power of the Holy Spirit to do the work that God has called us to do. All right? I think many times within growing up in the Assemblies of God and hearing about the Holy Spirit, I think one of the things that I think we had good intentions, but we didn't communicate it in the right way, is that we prayed for people to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but it was more that we could have the evidence of that. There's nothing wrong with that. But if we don't get focused on what God has called us to do, He's given us the Holy Spirit so that we can do the work that He's called us to do. Okay? And we need that more than we realize. You know, if you're just sitting on your couch watching football or soap operas and flipping through the channels, we don't need much of the Holy Spirit. But if we're really to be out there doing what God has called us to do, we become aware of our human limitations fairly quickly. And if we don't have the Holy Spirit to guide us, to power us, we need His presence, all right? In North America, I believe for the early church, it meant being a witness in a very hostile condition, didn't it? Some of them were thrown in prison, some of them were killed, some of them they lost all their things. It was a very hostile environment, yet that was the environment that God called them to be a witness. For you and I, there's probably not in North America, it's probably not the risk of being arrested, but there is the risk of just this antagonistic culture that we live in. You may be ostracized if you are outspoken about your faith, if you share Christ. And so we need His Holy Spirit to empower us. Embrace His power in life. Amen? Secondly, I want us to look at 2 Corinthians. We're going to jump around a little bit. I'm sorry about that. Usually that's not my style, but that's what we're doing today. 2 Corinthians 12, I want to look at a second area of gifting. Paul says to the church in Corinth, okay, he says there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. Who's the Spirit? The Holy Spirit. So He's given us, God has given us the gift of the Holy Spirit to empower His church, okay? And along with that, not only does He empower us, but He has given gifts to us. There are different kinds of service for the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but all of them, and in every one, is the same work of God. So there's a bunch of different gifts, but they all come from the Holy Spirit. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. That's a good thing to just underline, for the common good. We don't operate in the gifts of the Spirit for our notoriety or because we look spiritual. Okay? I've seen that. It is for the common good. Common good, just like a superhero, right? Okay, they're out there for the common good. It's not about them. It's to build, help things out. For us, it's the common good is to build up God's church. Okay, and to edify. That word edify means to build up. That is the common good. Verse 8, to the one that is given the Spirit, the message of wisdom. What is the message of wisdom? I'll do just a brief definition of what I think they are. A message of wisdom means, wisdom is more than knowledge, right? Wisdom is to be able to take knowledge and know how to use that knowledge, okay? You can have all this book learning, but if you don't know how to use it, you don't have wisdom. So wisdom, a message of wisdom means that God's going to impart to you just some wisdom that is not of yourself, that is from God, and is concerned a certain situation. Maybe you're praying with somebody and they just need wisdom is to know what to do. Or maybe it's for yourself. But that is where a word of wisdom can come in handy. Okay? And that comes from God. To another, a word of knowledge. Okay? I've seen this with praying for people. And I remember when I was doing my internship, still young, junior, between my junior and senior year of college, and a board member came up and said, hey, you know what? I think somebody is here that has a tumor. I'm over it. And so a couple people came forward for prayer and prayed for these couple different ladies. And the one lady went back that week and the tumor was gone. Okay? Word of knowledge. All right? All right. That is one way that that can function. To another, by a gift of faith. Okay? Now, we need faith to be saved, right? By faith. But I believe that God at certain times will impart by his Holy Spirit this incredible gift of faith to believe him in a pretty difficult circumstance. It is above and beyond. It's faith on steroids. Can we use that? All right? That it is just this incredible faith that God is going to impart to you, and it is from the Holy Spirit. That is the gift of faith. All right? And so that is a gift of the Holy Spirit. And one of the, as we're describing these gifts belong to who? Who? Well, they operate through us, but they belong to the Spirit, right? And he manifests them through our lives. He may use you with a gift of faith once and never use you again. Or he may use you in a bunch of times. Because he will use them through our lives, manifest them through our lives as he wills. To another, gifts of healing. Did you know that God can use you? Any of you here that have God's Spirit in you, God can use you to bring healing into somebody else's life? Did you know that? Yeah. I've told this story many times, but I went to Kiwanis up in North Dakota. Bert Miller was a good old staunch Catholic and part of the political system. He was a Democrat, and pro-life one, very loved God. But he goes, yeah, we got a guest speaker today, and her name was Minerva. Right? And she lived out in rural North Dakota. But she came and she shared her testimony today. She shared her testimony with just incredible divine healing. She was crippled, couldn't get out of a wheelchair. I mean, she was like some of the stories we're reading in the Gospels where they were crippled and invalid. And somebody just prayed for her to believe that God's Spirit could flow through them. And this lady prayed for her for healing. And over the next week or two, she was completely healed. And she was standing there singing. Her testimony was better than her singing. I'll say that. But it was beautiful. Why? Because she was giving God glory. So right in that Kiwanis Club, here we have this beautiful testimony of God's healing, miraculous power. See, God can use any of us. And one of the things that I want to point out is that many times, growing up in the church, the gifts of the Spirit operated where? In what context? In what building? Church. Where did Jesus do most of his ministry? Where did the gifts of the Spirit flow through him? In the church or where? In the marketplace. And I'm not opposed to them happening in the church, but I believe that God has given us to the gifts of the Spirit to utilize out there. Here, yes, but even more so out there, because that is where we are making contact with people, and we are missionaries of God's reconciliation, his grace, and his mercy. Amen? All right, to another, miraculous powers. So this would be, you know, healing is definitely a miracle, but, you know, maybe to move mountains. There's other types of miracles, okay? And God is going to give you that faith to believe him for miracles. To another, prophecy. Prophecy would be defined as just having a word from God that is for edification, to build up, or maybe it even has a little bit of insight into it of what we should do. But it is more for the edification of the body of Christ, okay? To another, discerning of spirits. Whenever I think of discerning of spirits, that means sometimes we don't always know what's happening, okay? So Paul is in Philippi, he's ministering, and there's a lady that's following behind them, and she's saying, hey, this is Paul and Silas, they're ministers of God. Sounds all great, but she kept doing this day after day, and Paul just is kind of like, you know, it's like a broken record, right? And he goes, something's not right. Well, she was a slave. She was owned by some men, and what they would use her to tell the future. She was a fortune teller, and it worked. She was a fortune teller. Paul maybe didn't know that right away, but he knew something was off. And finally, he turned around and he says, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. The demon, the spirit left her. She's set free. But that caused a problem because now her owners were upset because now she couldn't tell the future, right? And do what she normally did, so they lost their income right there, all right? They got the crowd worked up, and that's how Paul and Silas end up in prison in Philippi, where they're singing and praising God, right? And the prison doors come open. That's what happened. But there was a discerning of the Spirit, and there are times where you just know, is this sickness or is this demon possession? Okay? To know the Spirit of God. I believe that God can help us to discern what is happening in the supernatural realm. To another, the different kinds of tongues, or you can call them languages, okay? All right? And so we see this on the day of Pentecost. When they are filled, they speak in other languages. Some of those languages are understood by the crowd that is gathered because they're from all over. They're there for a Jewish festival. So that is considered a gift of the Spirit. We also see it as a sign that a person has been baptized or filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? And to another interpretation of those tongues. And Paul will really emphasize that in 1 Corinthians 14, because tongues may act as a sign and they may act as a prayer language. Okay, so if you're in your prayer time, that is a perfect place to pray in tongues and other languages, because it edifies and builds you up. So read through that chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Okay, but he says in a church setting, you're being blessed, but you're not blessing other people unless it is what? Interpreted, right? Then it can edify. Then it functions in the same role as a prophecy. All right. God has given these gifts from the same Spirit, and he wants to manifest these through you. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit who distributes to them, each of us, just as he determines. Amen? So, the second point is seek the gifts of the Spirit for the common good. Seek the gifts of the Spirit for the common good. In 2 Corinthians 14, you read chapters 12, 13, and 14. And 13 is in the middle, and it's called the love chapter, right? You read it at weddings and things like that, or you maybe read it to your boyfriend or girlfriend, right? It is in the context of the spiritual gifts. Why? Because Paul says, you know what? You can speak in tongues, you can do miracles, you can do healings, you can be used in the gifts of the Spirit, but if you don't have love, you're like a empty clanging cymbal. Okay? And so he really talks about that there has to be, the gifts of the Spirit have to be used in love. And just because you're using the gifts of the Spirit doesn't mean you're spiritual. And I think I grew up with that people would speak in tongues or other things like that, and maybe they'd be speaking in tongues once and then you never saw any evidence in their life of love, of them using the gifts of the Spirit, of power in their life to witness. There was no evidence. It's important that we seek the Holy Spirit and allow him to flow through our lives. Amen? Seek the gifts of the Spirit for the common good. There's a new show up this year. I haven't watched it. I've seen the commercial. It's called Gifted, right? These young people, I think they're, again, it's another Marvel-based series for TV instead of the movie. But these teenagers have supernatural powers, and so they're going out there doing the common good. You know, you are all gifted. Did you know that? Paul says, I hope you know the hope that you're called to, the glorious riches that are in the saints, the power that dwells within you. It's the same power that raised Christ from the dead. You realize that same power? That's pretty cool if you raise somebody from the dead, isn't it? Yolanda, you've prayed that prayer. That's how that came to be. That same power that dwells in each of us is the same power that raised Christ from the dead. What I'm talking about there is that Victor had a heart attack. He actually saw himself out of his body. He was gone. And Yolanda and others were praying for him. God brought him back. So, true miracle and answer to prayer. That was when they still lived in Costa Rica. And he's here with us today. Amen. You see, God has given us that same power that is within us. God has gifted us. I think there is such a great hunger in our culture and our society right now to be used for the supernatural. And I think the church is missing it in a lot of ways that God has promised us power as believers. But all we're doing, if I'm generalizing, please forgive me, but we come to church and it's not going out there where it's needed. And I can guarantee you, if we were seeing the gifts of the Spirit moving out there, it would really revitalize what's happening here, because we'd come back and say, man, guess what God did in my life this week? Right? And I've gotten some of those reports. I mentioned last week, Georgia will tell me what answer to prayer as they're praying out in the nursing home for Liz and her friends. God is able to do those great things. So, seek the gifts of the Spirit for the common good. Number 3, Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 13. So Christ gave himself, gave the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Okay? If you want an acronym so you can remember this, it's called APEST. Okay? APEST. Like your APEST. Okay? No, just APEST. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, instead of a pastor, but shepherds, teachers. All right? And he's given these gifts to the church to equip the people for the works of service. Who's supposed to do the works of service? The people. And there was a bad thing that happened back when the Enlightenment happened, and that is that the ministry became a profession. And with that, the ministers were the ones that were expected to do the works of service. And there was this certification and standards, and no longer were the people equipped to do the works of service. And so that's one of the things, the values here, is that we believe every person is a minister at Radiant Springs Church. We help you find your giftings. We help you discover that so that you can do your gifting, okay? And you can do what God has called you to do. And so that is my job as a pastor, to help you discover that and to release you to find that place where you can do what God has called you to do. All right? So the body of Christ may be built up and we reach the unity of the faith. So let's talk about this a little bit. Apostle, what's an apostle? What's an apostle? It literally means in the Greek, it means sent one. When I think of apostle, the Assemblies doesn't like to use that term apostles and prophets, just because the apostles and prophets wrote scripture in biblical times, okay? And so we have issues with that being a title, okay? So I'm not talking about the title, and you'll still see denominations today, apostle so-and-so or prophet so-and-so. Not a big fan of that, because usually it's a title, but it doesn't necessarily describe the ministry, okay? What I'm talking about is that God has gifted people within the body of Christ with an apostolic gifting, okay? Now, if there's one that comes to mind, there's a couple people that come to mind. One of them was Jim Bike. In my mind, we called him a missionary, but he had an apostolic ministry. He went into places and that were unreached, and he went there. He wasn't afraid. He just went there. Maybe he was afraid, but he still went, okay? And he went into uncharted territory to share the gospel. That is, to me, the work of an apostle. We need people like that on the mission field, but we also need them in our culture and society, because there are people, even in the United States of America, there are groups that will never darken the door of our church buildings. Am I right? They may be bikers, they may be atheists out in California that they just don't have any use for God, but there are people in our culture, in our nation, that will never be reached unless we have people that are sent and are willing to go into those cultures, get to know those people, and bring them to Christ. We need that apostolic gifting within the church. We need people that are released to do that. Secondly, there's a prophet. Now, prophet, there again, it's kind of like, when we think of prophet, too often we think of telling the future. But the role of the prophet, if you look through the minor prophets, often they did tell the future, but they often talked about needs within the culture. They talked about social injustice. Okay? They talked about things that Israel was not doing and taking care of people. And that is where a prophetic voice, I think, is so important in our culture today, is that we need people with that prophetic insight that see the needs within our culture that the church needs to respond to and reach out to. Okay? That prophetic insight. Evangelism, the gift of evangelism. There's some people that just have that gift of evangelism that is just in who they are. Billy Graham, you know, when we think of him, he was just that great evangelist. But you know what? God has raised up people even in this church, I know, that have the gift of evangelism. And for you to follow that. Shepherd is a great thing for a pastor, right? Take care of the flock of God. When one of my books, it says that the apostles and prophets are the brake, or the gas pedal. You know, they step on the gas. The pastors are the brakes and the teachers. In other words, there's a balance there, right? You need both, right? If you have a car and you have a gas pedal but no brakes, you're in trouble, right? And if you just have brakes, you're not going anywhere, right? And the church in America is heavily that we elevate the role of pastor, but we don't talk a lot about the apostles and prophets and those gifts to the church. The third principle is embrace the ministry gifts. God has given gifts to the church that we need to embrace. And so that means a couple of things. It means that if God has called you to one of those, pursue that. Release that gift in your life. I was reading in Timothy, and Paul says, go into the gift, walk in the gift that was prayed over you. We laid hands on you, we prophesied, and Paul says, walk into that gift, the anointing that God has for you, with the laying on of hands. Embrace those gifts. And then for the rest of us, if God has raised up these people in our church, to follow their leadership. Amen? All right. Number four, let's go to 1 Peter. Chapter 4, 7 through 11. 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11. The end of all things is near. Therefore be alert and sober mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. I guess you can do that, can't you? Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in various forms. So, ladies, how many of you have a diamond ring? Hold it up, all right? Now, if the light hits that, right, light goes in a lot of different directions, right? Okay? That is what happens when God's Holy Spirit, His light hits our lives. It just goes in a lot of different directions because He's gifted us in a lot of different ways. And He wants His grace to look differently in all of us and to be a variety of gifts to bless this world and to build His church. He's given a lot of gifts and He wants to demonstrate His grace in various ways. We all have different gifts according to the grace given us, verse 6. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, you have prophecy and you have serving. Isn't that serving is an important gift? There's a lot of things that wouldn't happen here on a Sunday if there wasn't things happening throughout the week that nobody ever saw. Right? Serving. If your gift is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it's encouraging, give encouragement. If it is giving, then giving. Did you know God raises up certain people that are just generous and they love to give? They probably have something to give, but they're just generous and God raises them up. This church wouldn't be here if we didn't have people that had the gift of generosity and giving. Especially in those early years. There were some people that gave at a high level. And I believe that God brought them alongside for a time and season and allowed us to get started. You think God knew that?
Yeah.
And he did. If it is to lead, you are to do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, you'll do it cheerfully. Did you know mercy is a gift? Gift of mercy? God has wired each of us with natural gifts that He intends for us to use to build His church. So these are different than the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit belong to the Spirit and He manifests them through us. Okay? Natural gifts, God has wired each of you with natural gifts and a temperament. So when we do the giftings class, we look at your experience, we look at your passion. In other words, what excites you? For some of you, you like crafting, okay? For some of you, that put you to sleep, okay? But for Mary, that's who she is, right? All right? That's wired into her DNA, all right? What's your passion? What's your experience? What are your natural gifts and talents? For some of us, we would want to do crafting, but it's kind of like we make a mess of it, okay? All right, the fingers just don't go the way they're supposed to. But for some people, it's just there, right? Natural gift. There's things I can do that you can't do. There's things that you do that I can't do, right? And see, the idea, you've heard the illustration, I use this in the class, that, you know, there's this animal school. And so the animals go to school, and they all had to get A's in all the subjects. So in running class, the duck did terrible because it got his web feet all ragged, and then he couldn't swim well, right? because they were all, this webbing was all messed up, so he couldn't swim. Well, the eagle, he flunked in running, but he, you know, instead of climbing a tree, he flew to the top of the tree, so he cheated. And you have all these, the rabbit can climb. You have all these illustrations, but the key is they were trying to do all the gifts. They're trying to do all these things instead of doing what they're good at. The eagle was made to fly. A duck was made to swim. A rabbit was made to bounce. You all have your own gifts. You all been wired a certain way. Look at temperament. Temperament's a big gift. The fourth one is to live your strengths. Live your strengths. Live what God has called you to do. I think some people just kind of know what they're supposed to do. I mean, the gifting is so strong, they just know what they're supposed to do. They discover it really. You know, I envy those little kids that have this beautiful voice when they're like 5 or 6, and they know that that's what they're supposed to do, right? For a lot of us, it's kind of like we go through life, we go through high school, and we get into college. We're still trying to figure out, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do for work? Or what does God have for me? What is His purpose in life? So we help people try to find that out, because I believe the bottom line is that we are to live the strengths. We are to live who God has called us to be, our passion, our temperament, all those blend together to form who we are and what God has called us to be. Amen? We have the musicians come, and I don't see them all like this. But Denise, if you just come. All right. Did she beat me too? What has God called you to do? Andy showed us a video, I think it was on Friday. The video is by, I think it's put out by John Revere, but I think I agree with most of it. But it just talks about gifting. It talks about a tax. He was an accountant.